Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. The November 1st, 2023 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding in-person meeting with the virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by staff, other business, status report on current projects activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and adjournment. For each adjournment agenda item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now come to order. First on our agenda this morning is the approval of the August 23rd, 2023 core MPO board meeting minutes meeting. May I have a motion?
Make a motion to accept the minutes. Plus also Richmond Hill.
Is there second, Palumbo.
All right, it's been properly motioned and second that the minutes of the August 23rd, 2023 core MPO board meeting minutes be adopted and approved. Are you ready for the question? All right, let us begin by voting by starting to my left, at the far left.
Aye, Pamela Bernard.
Miley Thunderbolt, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Ted Hicks, GDOT, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Karen Jarrett abstained. I wasn't here.
Right, and the chairman, yes. Now let us approve the agenda. Motion, please.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda, please.
A second.
Tanya Milton.
Faye DeMassimo.
Probably motion and second that the agenda be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by starting to my far right this time. Identify yourself and your.
Baron Jarrett, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Ted Hicks, yes.
Milton, yes.
Miley, yes.
Bernard, yes.
Okay, we're ready now for committee reports.
I'll report on the core MPO TCC meeting. We conducted our meeting on Thursday, October the 19th. The recommendations that were made to the MPO are on our agenda today under the action items.
Okay.
I'll give the reports for ACAT and CAC. ACAT met this October and endorsed all action items. And the CAC also met this past October and endorsed all action items.
Mm-hmm.
The EDFAC committee also met this past month, and we had no action items, but we went over the final draft for the freight study.
Okay. Is there another?
From the director, executive director, right now we have no updates. Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on now to after the action items. We'll move to other business.
We do have an action item. Besides the minutes, we have the TIP adoption. So I'll just give the presentation on the TIP. As you know, the TIP is the MPO short-range programming document, and it's a subset of the long-range transportation plan. So all the projects have to be consistent with the current plan, because we are working on the 2050, but the current one is 2045. So all the projects are consistent with the 2045 long-range transportation plan. And then the TIP includes a highway transit, a multimodal bike path trail project. And then we developed the TIP in cooperation or in coordination with GDOT, CAD, all the project sponsors like City, Chatham County, Tybee, et cetera. And the TIP are supposed to contribute to the performance measures, because we do have three sets of highway performance measures and two sets of transit performance measures. And the projects in general or overall will contribute to the performance measures. And we actually adopted all the performance measures like safety. This is highway safety performance measures in February 2023. And then we adopted the PM2, that's bridges, conditions, and pavement, and also in February 2023. And the PM3 is the freight movement congestion. We adopted all of these targets in February 2023 as well. And for the transit, we actually coordinated with CAD. So we adopted the transit asset management or TAM targets in February 2023. And then the transit safety performance targets in the fiscal in February 2023 as well. So the TIP projects in general or in the summary form will contribute to all of these performance targets. So I'm just going to show you what kind of projects we include in this TIP. So as you can see, for example, Project Drain, it will contribute to the performance targets of safety, definitely, because of the high crash and congestion. Everybody knows Drain is highly congested, and it still serves a lot of the freight. So it will contribute to all of these targets. For example, for I-16X ramp removal, interchange modification, so it will probably contribute to safety, because we will have like a revert to the grid pattern if the project is eventually finalized. And that will probably encourage more people to walk and bike, so that will improve the air quality. So you have all these performance. And then I will see the others. So et cetera, you will see every project contributes to several performance measures, performance targets. So the projects you can see, I have some like check mark over here, but you also see some X over here. That's because the check mark would be the projects that we included in the draft TIP that went out for public involvement. But the X is the projects that we made updates since that, because we did amend this I-16 IMR into the current TIP, fiscal year 2021 to 2024. But while I was in the hurry to develop the draft TIP, I missed it, so omitted. So that was my mistake. So just want to let you know that's what happened. And the other projects include the US 17, that bridge over there, and then a little bit of widening on the other side. And then the I-95 ITS project, and also the US 80 bridges replacements at Bull River and Lazaretto Creek. I-16 interchange at Little Neck Road project, and Chavers Road improvement project, and Garrard Avenue improvement project, and Chatham Area Transit State of Good Repair fleet replacement. I'm listing this project over here is because we have to flex some of these funds, because CAD did receive the Y230 funds. So the Y230 funds are coming from FHWA. So after we get the funds authorized, the funds will be flexed to FTA. Then it becomes FTA money, and the CAD can apply for the FTA money. But for the purpose of this tip, I'm still listing it and the FHWA portion, because the funds haven't been authorized yet. Another project that I also omitted during the draft development is the Green Island Road multi-purpose trail project, because what happened is we got the PE authorized in fiscal year 2023, so it dropped off my radar, because there are other phases that need to be programmed, but because of I have the impression that the funds have been authorized, so I missed that in the draft. So now added back. And then the other one also, the Talmadge Memorial Bridge. And then the lump sum projects is a lump sum category that GDOT provides that includes the safety, like right-of-way, protective buying. So all of that information is listed in the TIP. So it includes a bunch of smaller projects. So we just program the funds. So we say we have like $2 million for bridge painting or something. But when GDOT will prioritize based on the needs, and then if the project is smaller, and then they can draw up this money. So that's where lump sum comes in. CAT actually provided the program for the Section 5307, Section 5337, 5339, and 5311. 5311 provided by GDOT, and 5310. Is from the Department of Human Services, but CAT did provide some updated numbers yesterday. So I just want to show you how the TIP investments are contributed to the performance measures. The total investments for the next 4 years is more than $495 million. About 85 of the funds will be for highway improvements, but that also includes like CAT bus replacement, like I mentioned, because it's coming from that highway portion, and some bike path projects like Girard Avenue, Terrace Road, like Green Island Trail, around 60% for transit improvements. And as you can see, because each project contributes to multiple performance measures, you can see around 64% of projects are contributing to safety, highway safety, and around 69% of the projects will contribute to pavement and bridges performance measures, and about 29% will contribute to freight, and then around 54% of the projects will contribute to congestion relief, and about 34% will contribute to air quality improvements, and about 16% will contribute to transit asset management. Around 16% will contribute to transit safety. So in summary, the new TIP will include a high percentage of projects that address safety, bridges replacement, and congestion. And it, like I mentioned already, each project normally addresses several performance measures. The TIP project contribute to achieving the performance targets for the various categories, and TIP as a whole contribute to economic development of the Savannah region. And now I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about the updates since the draft publication. I already mentioned I-16 IMR and then the Green Island Trail project, but we also, those are the two projects that we added. So they're not going to impact the financial balance because like I-16 IMR, it has earmark funds, and the Green Island Trail. The thing is we didn't allocate the carbon reduction program funds, during the draft TIP, but we had a special called TCC meeting. We talked with GDOT, talked with Federal Highway Administration, and they said that our projects like Girard Avenue, Travers Road project, because those are improving sidewalks and bike lanes, so those will be eligible to receive the carbon reduction program. And since we already did the call for project last year, we already have the project ranking, so we can just allocate the funds directly. We don't have to do another round of call for projects just for that purpose. So we were able to allocate all those funds, and we were able to utilize all of the carbon reduction program funds, and so did the financial balance. So those would be the funds that the MPO controls. We can just allocate the funds based on the financial balance.
Excuse me, the I-16 ramp removal, is that just for engineering?
No, just the IMR.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a interstate modification report, just to update the report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you so much for the presentation. I wanted to ask if there was any way to help quantify, especially when it comes in the realm of transit, to apply in alleviating congestion. Is there a calculation, or would it benefit us as we move forward with the TIP update? I could see how some of these can apply in more broader categories. Does it help to put it into more categories?
What I can tell you is, the MPO controls HIP funds, Highway Infrastructure Improvement Program funds, And we control the Y230 funds, we control the Y301 funds, and we control the carbon reduction program funds allocated to our area. So the HEAP funds will lapse pretty soon. So just focus on Y230, Y301, and carbon reduction program funds. So what we did is let's use the funds, use carbon reduction funds first. And then you use the transportation alternatives funds, 305 funds later. And then use the balance to fund the Y230, because Y230 is the most flexible. So we already know Y230 funds can be used for transit improvements. So you might be competing with others for the carbon reduction or transportation alternatives. But because those have a smaller amount. So it wouldn't be to your benefit to apply for those funds. So we will try to make room for you to just apply for the Y230 funds, because that's the most flexible. So that's how we did the balancing.
I think one thing we could do, Wakota, is in terms of the quantifying, less about the allocation of the funds per se, but when you think about the whole transportation improvement program and what level of impact it has as a system of improvements. In the master transit plan, there were some calculations in there where we talked about the performance impacts of implementation of overall improvements over time. And I think there's some of that information we can help tease out in a way that can be used in here, just not so much about the allocation of the funds, but more about what does the overall TIP performance accomplish in terms of all these things, and transit does contribute to congestion relief.
Yeah, actually, the previous slide that I showed you, all of these numbers, let me just say, because we did have a 30-day public comment period, and then that ended last Thursday. So we were addressing the comments, but I'm still receiving the last minute updates. Like, I just received some updated numbers from Kennedy yesterday. So that's why I have, normally I'm pretty accurate, but right now you see this around, more than around something. That's because I'm still finalizing those numbers. And also got confirmation from, City of Savannah about their application for Project Durain. So preliminary engineering funds, they applied last year and they actually got ranked pretty high, number one. But it's just, we didn't know the year, and the specific amount. And then, Chatham County also provided updated cost estimate for the Girard Avenue, construction phase. So it's, all these numbers come to me at the last minute. So I'm trying to incorporate all of that. For some of these projects, the transit definitely, actually, let me see, transit, look at over here, the transit improvements I have, it shows it contributes to highway safety, it contributes to congestion relief, it contributes to air quality, and so the calculation actually includes all the transit improvements. So it does, because all the transit improvement, all the transit projects do contribute to these highway performance measures. So that's why in the calculation, I have plugged in the numbers and to do the calculation for you. So just want to let you know, if you see this safety 64%, congestion 54%, those do include the transit improvement projects. Just want to let you know that.
And I think what all of us must be mindful of is, if she gets she don't get the numbers until 2 o'clock yesterday, there's no way she can have them prepared for us this morning, right? So you're going to have to wait. And as we get those numbers and you calculate them in, on the website, you correct the numbers and the percentages, right?
I haven't, yeah.
Yeah, but you have.
Not the website, because I have the worksheet that to work right on, but I'm going to finalize this tip after you adopt it.
Right.
Because there are still a lot more details that I need to put in the final tip document.
Right.
So this is just to show you what projects we have, and what the investments are and how they contribute to the performance targets.
And I'm just saying staff can't give you correct numbers in 24 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. Okay. Because you got to remember now, she got numbers from the county. She got numbers from the CAT yesterday. She got numbers from GDOT yesterday. She got numbers from other folks yesterday, right? So to be exact today, there's no way. And that's my point.
Yeah.
And what I'm making. All right. We're going to get there and you will get a copy of all the correct numbers and all the correct figures, but it takes time.
Yeah. After we finalize the tip, right, we will post it to the website and we will notify you. So you will see the final numbers. But it just, I can understand that the people sent me the last minute numbers because numbers constantly update. Like the county did the cost estimate for Grand Avenue. They didn't have the meeting until that last Wednesday or last Thursday. So they don't have the update numbers. So those are the things. Like CAD just got their update numbers yesterday. So they sent us the number. So just want to let you know, it's not everybody's fault or something. No, I'm not saying that. It's just because the numbers constantly change. So let me just continue the updates since the draft tip. We removed this Ocean Terminal project because this is purely 100% funded by Georgia Ports Authority. It's about $9 million. When GDOT sent us the project list, did include that project. But since we during the special TCC meeting, we did ask the GPA, are you going to pursue federal dollars? They said no. They're not going to pursue federal dollars, so there's no need for us to include this project into the long-range transportation plan and into the TIP. But it's still significant. It's $9 million. So that's why we moved this project to the illustrative section. So even if it's not officially included in our TIP, but it's in the illustrative section, so because it's originally significant. And then I also deleted another project, which is the Ivy and the Linwood sidewalk project. And Richmond Hill is the project sponsor. Richmond Hill sent a letter to GDOT say we want to cancel this project. So GDOT has already canceled this project from their system. So we can reallocate about like $200,000 to other projects that can use the bike walk related improvements. And then like I said, we allocated Y233 to run carbon reduction funds. Because we already conducted the CAFO project, we already built up the waiting list. So that's why last year we said, okay, we will allocate the funds during the TIP development, but how much you get, you can request this amount, but you are not guaranteed to get this amount. So everything will be based on the revenues that by the time that we develop the TIP. But we allocate the funds to Project Durain, I-16 at State Route 17, and Chevers Road Improvement Project, Grand Avenue Improvement, and Green Island Trail Project. Like as the logic is to use the carbon reduction program funds first, if the project is eligible, and then use the transportation alternatives funds second, and then use the Y230 funds third, because that's the most flexible funds. So we want to have a balance over there because it can cover all sorts of projects. And the transit updates, I mentioned, Stephanie has been working hard. And so she sent me the updated information on the THAT information, section 5310, and flex the Y230, Z230 funds. And then she also sent me the funding obligation, for the past 3 years that was missing in the draft TIP. So just right now I got all the information. So I just need to finalize the TIP. Like I mentioned, we did have a 30-day public involvement period from September 27th to October 26th. And according to our participation plan, we have 3 days after the comment period ends to address all the comments. So basically, we can still receive comments like today on Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and today. So when we receive the comments, we will still address, we will incorporate all the comments. But comments received after that, if I have already have the TIP finalized, we are going to address them during the TIP amendment phase. But if you like give me the comments today, I will make sure that address those. And also,
oh no, go ahead, please.
Sorry. Oh no. I'm almost done. It's just I just want to let the chairman know that we did advertise for a public hearing, so we need to open the public hearing.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
You go ahead and get through. Are you through?
Yeah. Right, almost through. Yeah.
So all right. Now we can hear his question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know the city of Savannah and Chatham County have clean energy goals out there, pursuing clean energy projects. Do you have more information on the carbon reduction program and program requirements?
Yes. Okay. Carbon Reduction Program, GDOT actually have their consultant did a presentation at the TCC. So they're developing this manual, I think. Yeah, there is a document. So it could be, basically it's a guideline for us, like how to use the carbon reduction program funds. So, if you just, go back to the TCC. If you go back to the TCC agenda, there's a presentation attached and other business, GDOT's carbon reduction program strategies. So there's a presentation file and also several chapters listed over there. So take a look at that. So that will give you more details. And also Federal Highway Administration also has a website that includes that information. So we checked both the GDOT guidelines and Federal Highway guidelines before we decide to allocate funds to Girard Avenue, to Traverse Avenue, because we want to make sure those are eligible projects.
Excellent.
So just want to let you know, if you could, the information is attached to the TCC, but we can follow up with you if you need us to send you this information.
Let me ask this question for board members as well as for the general public. When it's on GDOT's website or when it's on the MPC website or when it's on the city of Savannah or Richmond Hill or any place else, do we have a link so that they can link in what's on GDOT's website with what's on your, like if I go to MPC and look under MPO for certain projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now. And then under the carbon reduction, it's on GDOT's website. Can we link those up together?
That's a good suggestion. We used to have, under the Corn PO, we used to have information on like resources.
Right.
So that's where we provide the link. So yeah, we can add the link over here.
Yeah, so can we link them up?
Yes, yes.
See, in that way, what I'm saying is like, Alderman Canumba is saying, when he looks at the city of Savannah, he can see the link for GDOT.
Yeah.
And that would have taken him back to the October.
Yeah, we will.
MPO meeting and would give him the answers that he needed. All right. But if he's just looking at the city of Savannah website and is not no link up, see, he would know, that it goes back there. Even with Cat and on their website, if we can start to link up the things here, these
okay.
dots connect. All right. And everybody must realize that all these dots connect. So in order for, if we've got some over here on GDOT and some here on the city of Savannah and some on the county and there is no linkage, right? It's on CAP's website, but there is no linkage to what's going on with GDOT. Folks don't link the dots together. So what I'm suggesting we do is find a way to link
okay.
up the websites together so that all they got to do is hit the link.
Yeah,
right.
we will check our website to see where we can provide the link.
Okay, good.
So that's very good suggestion.
Yeah,
we will do that. Yeah.
I know to go there because I've got those things in front of me, but the average citizen don't know to go there. So all I'm trying to do is give them the information so that when we talk about the 30-day period and we have to have a public hearing, a lot of times folks come and say, "Well, we didn't know. Nobody told us." All right, so. What we can do now is you go to the MPO's website and it'll link you up to everybody's,
Yeah, we will check with
right.
IT
right.
to see
okay.
how we
All
can
right.
provide this information. Thank you for the good suggestion.
Sure.
Okay. Like I said, we did advertise for a public hearing.
Right. And we got to have
yeah,
one.
Yeah. We will
yes,
have one.
All right. Let me make sure now. Do I have any more questions from any board members? Just talking about board members now. All right, none. All right, let me have a motion to open up a public hearing.
So make a motion yeah. that we open a public hearing.
Second.
All right, then properly motion and second that we open up the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your preference by starting to my left or our left and coming across.
Bernard, yes.
Miley, yes.
Milton, yes.
Nick, yes. Les Bussell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Fata Massimo, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, the public hearing is now open. Are there any members here in the audience who wish to speak on on the TIP and for public involvement. Do we have anyone on the link side? We don't.
No, sir.
All right, no raised hands.
No.
Okay. Raise hands going once. Raise hand going twice. Three times. Let me have a motion to close.
So moved.
Second, Palumbo.
Bernard.
Been properly motioned and second that we close the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your preference starting to my right this time.
Jarrett, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Milton, yes.
Miley, yes.
Bernard, yes.
Okay. Public hearing is now closed.
Okay, Chairman, say, yes. And we will request the Corn Bill Board adoption of the TIP.
Adoption of the TIP.
Yes.
All right.
I'd like to move.
Sorry. Move the adoption. Okay.
to adopt the TIP.
Bernard.
Okay. I'll second. Fussell.
Probably motion and second that we adopt the TIP. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote starting again to my right.
Jarrett, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Milton, yes.
Miley, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
And the chairman, yes. All right, now, let me ask you some questions since we have adopted that. We've got that out the way. Scroll back a couple of steps. Right. Oh, we can stay right there. Yeah. There are two things I want to ask. Lester, do you want to talk about the deletion of the projects down in Richmond Hill?
Yes, sir. The reason we deleted this project, and I'll let you know that there was a little bit of activity that I wasn't made aware of at the time by the city. But the engineering costs for this project far exceeded the amount of money that we had requested, and the city was not able to commit any additional funds to do that. After the fact, we had discussed actually moving this out into the 2025 timeframe with the carbon reduction, because it kind of fit into the carbon reduction plan and funding. However, by that time, a letter had already been sent to DOT to cancel the project. They'd canceled it out of their system. Therefore, whenever we have another call for projects, we'll revisit this. And I must say that our estimation for this particular project was out of date. Therefore, our costs would have been significant. Putting these sidewalks was going to cost us somewhere around $750,000 to $800,000. And it just, there's other ways to fund that. So, but anyway, it's, there's $300,000 on the table for anybody that needs it.
Including Richmond Hill, including Pembroke. It's $300,000 on the table. So that what that would mean is that you have to get with.
We already reallocated those funds.
Yeah. Okay. Hey,
listen. Take long.
So you can see the beneficiaries of Chavez Road, Garrard Avenue, and Green Island Trail.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
The other thing I want to ask too now is concerning the Green Island Trail. That $3 million that was allocated from the legislators last year, is that included in this or is that separate from what this is here? Is $3 million that was allocated in the last budget? You all don't know?
That's two separate projects. Okay. You have the Green Island project, then you have the Green Island Trail.
Yeah, this is a trail project. Yeah.
Right.
Not $3 million.
But listen. I know. Okay. But I want to make sure we know what's clear because folks are asking, well, what about that $3 million? Gene, I want them to know where the $3 million. MPO does not have control of those funds. Right. And we only talk about monies that we have control of. Am I correct? See,
yeah.
So I want to make sure that they know that there's two different projects. And that's a different set of monies.
Yeah.
I said to the person who asked me that, I told them to tune in today All right. So they can get the answer to that question.
Yeah. If you decide to program some of your controlled money to the Green Island Trail projects, please let Pam and Deanna know. Because they have to provide the local match for the Y230 or anyway. Yeah. So, SPLOS, you have SPLOS. Okay. You don't need that, but it's okay.
That was $3 million that was allocated.
That's probably for the Green Island.
I don't think we know
but
exactly
the
way it fit in yet. Anyway, do we? I don't think we have knowledge. And listen, the money was given to us for Green Island. And I'm just saying that there are two different, projects going on Green Island. There is the trail. Then there's Green Island. See, and that's two different things.
Yeah.
And one of them is to make sure that they preserve that as a green space. All right. And I think that's where the $3 million is. But we've got to get clarity on what we can spend the $3 million for. We don't have any knowledge of that yet. But folks are asking because they are concerned of, for instance, the Green Island Trail. All right. That's going to run somewhere off of Diamond Causeway, as I understand. All right. So folks want to know, am I going to be able to bike, drive, or walk onto Green Island?
No.
See?
No.
Listen.
You have to go over there by boat.
That's right.
They're in two different locations. Green Island Trail is actually on Skidway Island.
It is.
So it's not the...
Come off of Diamond Causeway.
Yeah.
But
if I could clarify, that's Green Island Road.
Right.
Green Island Road Trail. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
See, so when you're talking about the road trail, but see, all of it is... Listen, folks lump things together. They say Green Island, and it's Green Island Trail, so they think that I'm going to be able to walk there. I'm going to be able to bike there.
Yeah, I should have put the Green Island Road
right,
in
road
there.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
So that was me. But I will make
now
sure.
Now you're getting to my point.
Yeah, I will make sure that in the tip, it reflects the correct name.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
yes, please, and if you could actually change that to PATH, that'd be great. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, they'll get with you and you can make the change, but I tried not to answer those questions. All right. So I told them to tune in to the day.
Okay.
And they might get the answer to their question because I don't want to get trapped saying, but you told us this was going to happen and you told us I was going to be able to bike over there. All right. And I don't think there's no other way to get to Green Island except by boat, is it?
Yeah. I will make sure that we correct the name to the pass and the correct name. In the final tip.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Anything else now on that?
Thank you for the tip adoption. And then, we'll just move on to the next item. So, the MOU, the memorandum of understanding, and then I've presented this to you, at the past two meetings. So we're still, we actually sent a follow-up email. Move this. We actually sent out follow-up email to get your input on this. So if you have any like comments or something, please send us information. But before this meeting, we didn't receive any input. I also checked with Melanie. She didn't receive any input. We are particularly interested in the input in Appendix B, which is the fee structure, but based on the information, based on the conversation that I had yesterday and today, so I got some kind of idea. So Effingham County, I talked with Tim today. So Effingham County will pay for all their share, and then they will work with the like Rankin, Springfield, and Guyton to decide who will serve the other seat. So that will be bylaws. So we will put that language because I have over here Effingham County to be determined. So I will put that Effingham County will pay 100% of the county's share. So that will be the language I will do. And for Bryan County, Richmond Hill will pay their share and then they will coordinate with Bryan County. So we are still waiting for Bryan County input on how to split their share. And then for Chatham County, the chairman indicated that the county will pay the 25% of the municipality's share, but the assumption is that the county commission chairman will still be the chairman, so we will not have an election on the MPO board. So those are the input that I got yesterday and today. But after talking to several people today, so this is what I decided to do. Because we also send you the calculation based on the fiscal year 2024, UPWP. So we send you the numbers. So those were the estimated amounts that you will pay. But because it includes everybody, so you might not, might be difficult for you to find the information that is specific to your agency. So this is what we will do. We will prepare a letter to all the jurisdictions. So you will receive individual letters from us specifying your amount. So this is your expected amount. And then we will need official response letters from you. Say like Chatham County, we will pay the 25% of the municipality share, but the chairman will still be the chairman, right? You just indicate that. And having come just to say, okay, we will pay this. And then we will pay 100% of the Effingham County share. And then we will finalize the MOU in December. So hopefully we will get all of that done in November and then present it to you, that information, in December. And after that, you can have the MOU. We will after MPO chairman signs the MOU, we will forward all the jurisdictions, the MOU for your signature page. So you can just sign your signature page. So we will revise this language. I think another input that we had at last meeting is maybe Chatham Area Transit will pay, they need to pay probably less than Georgia Ports Authority. Yeah, so we need to sit down with CAT as well on that, decide what is the approach we want to say, because currently I think all the modal representative paid like 70s percentile. So maybe CAT can just pay like 60 percentile or something. So we would redo the calculation and then send you the numbers and send individual letters to you all. So this would be the follow-up for the MOU. So just want to let you know. And then for the bylaws, this is the first time you will see the bylaws. So because we didn't have the bylaws, drafted bylaws ready during the last presentation. So, that's the MOU again, okay. So I update the bylaws based on the assumption that every committee will have the like same standard format, same election time, and the same quorum requirement. So right now they all around the place. So everybody's different. So now we have this. I try to standardize this, but this is the preliminary draft. As you can see, the staff comments are still attached. So basically, I developed this draft. A preliminary draft and then send it to for internal review. So I got some comments from the like Asia, Anna, Genesis. So we're still trying to like coordinate with Melanie and Pam. You see this Pam's comments also included over here. So you can see the comments still shows who commented on this. So that's why this is very preliminary. So what we want you to do is just go over this information after this meeting, and we probably don't have to adopt the bylaws in December because the bylaw doesn't need the signatures because the MOU needs signatures. We need to forward the MOU and MPO boundary to GDOT and the governor's office in December. But the bylaws, we can still work on this. So after this meeting, you can review the language. So all of the changes are highlighted in red. So I already got the comment from the chairman yesterday. He said, okay, he has a question about having deleted the garrison commander from the Hunter Army Field from the non-voting advisory member. So we will revisit this. So just to send us the comments, and we will keep on working on the language over here. And also, I think I talked with Tim this morning. Seems like he's okay with the language about the other seat for Effingham County is a voting member agreed upon by Effingham County and its municipalities. If Bryan County wants to do the same thing, we can just revise the language over there. So this is the first time you see the bylaws. After this meeting, take a look at this. If you have questions, just like what the team said or what the chairman said, just let us know. And you will probably see several iterations. And if we need to have, because we actually do plan to have individual meeting with joint ACAT and the CEC because we are consolidating those two committees. And they actually, CEC, one of the CEC members, he's not even satisfied with the name, new name, transportation equity, and then public involvement. So because that's, okay, how the acronym, how to pronounce it. So those, we are going to go line by line with those committees just to finalize the bylaws. So that will take more time. So the bylaws are not going to be ready in December. So you will see more.
All right.
Thank you. Good morning. There's some procedural and legal issues that the city of Savannah has to address. Timing, particularly with changes in administration and a couple of other issues. So we'll probably need a little time to be able to work those out. So the timeline would be helpful to us.
Yeah, we are talking about the MPO board meeting, which is December the 13th. So after everybody on this board approves the MOU, we will send you, and your city council has to, yes. Before you sign that, yeah, you will have some time to work on that because Bryan County has already contacted us and they are trying to include that into their next agenda in December. So that will be after December the 13th. So definitely your meeting might be in December or January. Yeah. So after we collect all of the signatures and we will forward everything to GDOT and the governor's office. It's probably in January or February by that time we're talking about. But what we are seeing over here is no, it's the MPO board decision. So that's December the 13th. Yes.
Yeah. And make sure now, even if the municipalities are going through elections, that's not going to change. Those members of this board won't change before December 31st. But the MOU has to be in Atlanta. All right. So it's the members of this board and the elected officials who will serve now to December. They're the ones who have to sign off on the MOU. We need to get the MOU done by next month.
Yes.
By December.
Yes.
And get that into GDOT and get that into the governor's office. So you, the folks sitting here now, you still be a part of the MPO board, right? So you're the ones who we need the signatures from. Then no matter what happens in the election phase, they don't come in until January. Now they can come back as we work with the bylaws. They can yes. come back and put some comments in there in January. But the MOU would have already been gone.
Yeah, MOU.
We just need to separate those two.
Well, but Chairman, the question was about, it was more some procedural and legal issues mm-hmm. more so than administration
yeah.
that have to be clarified. So
okay.
we need some time to do that.
Yeah. So you have after December 13th to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Any more questions
any
on
more
this?
More questions then? All right. Moving right along.
Okay, is Genesis online? Okay, before Genesis makes her presentation, I just want to mention several things that is going on because she's going to present it to you about the cost estimating tools and inflation factors, but I'm going to talk about something else. So we started our second round of public involvement for the 2050 MTP update because we are at this stage of developing project list. So that's why we want the public input. So we started our second round. Actually, Asia and Anna went to the Skidway Island Park. I think it's like two Saturdays ago. Yeah. So they went over there. And then Asia, Anna and myself, we went to the city of Savannah's the neighborhood event last Saturday. So for the second round, we probably will just advertise for one virtual meeting, public meeting, because we find out it's more, we get more input from going to the neighborhoods. Sage is actually doing a GS day today, so they also bring their information to the students, because we want to collect some information on the bicycle and pedestrian information from the students. So we will just do like several of these public events. We'll attend public events, collect information, and then we will develop the project list. And then Genesis is going to talk about how we prioritize the projects and then do the cost estimating for those. Just want to let you know that. And also we have been, Genesis has been with Edward and Rizvika on the 2050 social economic data. development. We already sent that information to GDOT, and GDOT sent us some comments back. So we are addressing those, or probably have addressed those. And then several studies have wrapped up the urban flooding model. You're going to have a presentation today, and the freight plan and the US 80 corridor study. So those particular recommendations, we are compiling the matrix on about the project. So you will see the project list probably in the February meeting, I think. And then we will do the third round probably around April and May. So that's when you will see what specific project will be included. So just want to mention that before Genesis can do the presentation. Does she want me to control this or? Yeah. Yeah. We are going to host a virtual meeting for the 2050 plan on November the 15th. Just want to let you know, but we haven't advertised for it yet. So you will receive a link after we do the advertisement.
And the date of that is November 15th.
Yeah, November 15th. Yeah.
So now, how soon will we advertise that?
We probably have to do it. I think send out the notice probably today. Yeah, advertised on Sunday. But after that, we will send you the link.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you always have to deal with folks who says, y'all didn't tell us. All right. We don't know what y'all doing. So I want to make sure that we put it out when the advertisement's going to go out so folks can start looking for it, right?
Yeah, it's just we are still trying to decide on the time, because we think maybe because it's a virtual meeting, so maybe like 6:30, so you can join from home, so you don't have to stay in the office or something. So we're still trying to decide on the time.
Soon as you decide and get that information, get it to all the board members.
Yeah, we will.
And again, that's one of those things that we can also put on everybody's website, right? So you connect it to your website and put it on everybody else's website, because I may read Bryan County because I live in Bryan County. See? So if it's on Bryan County's website that we have in this virtual meeting of the MPO, because a lot of people don't even understand what the MPO is all about.
Yeah, okay. We found that out during the event.
I'm just being real, Richard. I'm giving you stuff that I'm getting.
Yeah. Okay.
So if we put it on Bryan County's website, we put it on Effingham County's website, we put it on Chatham County, the city of Savannah, Thunderbolt, Tyvek, whoever, all right, that this virtual meeting is going to be, and they can tune in, okay? Because they may read, especially in the midst of this election period, they may read those particular jurisdictions' website to see what's on there, all right? And so I'm just saying to us, when you get it, give it to the rest of us so that we can get it on our websites and on our page and things, okay?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Okay. Genesis, does she want to share the screen?
Genesis, are you there? You can share your screen now.
Can you hear us, Genesis? No, we cannot hear you.
Okay. I think I will just cover this agenda item. So basically, we're trying to do two things. For Genesis is responsible for developing the financial plan for the 2050. So for financial plan, first you need to have a revenue, and then second you got to have a project. So when you have project, you have project costs, right? And then the revenue and the costs all have to be inflated because we are required to do the year of expenditure. So we will divide for the next 25 years, divide them into three cost band: cost band one, cost band two, cost band three. And cost band one probably, cost band one, you have a most latest cost estimates probably because that's the highest priority project. But cost band two, you have to inflate like both revenue and cost estimates. So she has done some research on what is the inflation factor that we want to use. We decided based on the samples for the revenue projection, we suggest to use 2% revenue projection, because previously for the current 2045 plan, when GDOT sent us the revenue projection, they assumed 1%. So we think probably 2% makes more sense. But for the cost estimating, in the current plan, we're using 4% because GDOT probably knows this best, and the county and the city, when they do the project letting, probably the cost comes more. A lot more so we probably will use higher percentage of inflation rate for the cost estimates. So those are the things that we presented to the TCC and they try to get some ideas, but at least I think TCC approved or agreed on 2% for now. But we are soliciting volunteers from the TCC. Basically, we will have a like subcommittee, worker big committee, to develop this financial plan. So they will meet more often and is deal with all of these inflation factors and when we have the revenue projection from GDOT. And so we will see like how much will be available in cost band one, how much will be available in cost band two, and how much will be available in cost band three. And then we will have a prioritization methodology, agree on the prioritization methodology, and then start to prioritize the project list. And then decide which projects will go into cost band one, which projects will go into cost band two and cost band three. So just want to let you know that we are working with TCC. We are asking for volunteers right now. So another thing Genesis wants to cover is the cost estimates, because this might be the first time that we can include some new projects into the long range transportation plan, because previous long range transportation, we already have a big project list and we don't have enough revenues. So what we did is cut out a lot of the projects. But this is the first time that we might have revenues to cover new projects. Because I-16 widening is done. Funds have been authorized and I-16, I-95, all those big item projects like Ogeechee Road widening project. So the big item projects, they already have their funds already. So that means there will be room for new projects. So some of the new projects will come from the congestion management process, will come from freight, will come from the corridor studies we're doing. And some of projects will carry over from the 2045. But for the new projects that come from the studies, for example, this corridor, the State Route 26 or US 80 at the 307 SPUI, this project is coming from both State Route 307 corridor study and the US 80 corridor study. But the thing is, when we have the RFP out, we didn't ask the consultant to have the cost estimates. So if we to include this project into the 2050 MTP, we need a cost estimate. How do we do that? So Genesis actually acquired a cost estimating tool from the ARC, Atlanta Regional Commission, which is the MPO in the Atlanta area. So she was doing some testing to see if we plug in those numbers, like the number of mile, what is the mileage and what is the land use over there? And so she come up with this, the design of this SPUI, So based on those information, you just plug in the numbers, and then she come up with a number, and then we want to see whether this cost. We want to test whether this cost estimating tool is usable. She did comparison with other areas, like for example, California or North Carolina, to see how much their SPOE project cost. So basically, we found out is our cost estimating tool that came out with the results. The results are pretty reasonable. So this will be the cost estimating tool that we will use for new projects. But all of this will go through the TCC, this subcommittee, worker bee committee, and also goes through the TCC main committee. And eventually, you probably, the MPO board probably would not see that much detail, but this just want to let you know, this is how, what our approach is.
Any questions about any of that? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Go ahead.
Where did that tool come from? Is that GDOT?
She actually, cause Genesis worked in the Atlanta area before. So she got the cost estimating tool from Atlanta Regional Commission, ARC, yeah. Cause ARC is the largest MPO. They have more resources. They have more staff members. They develop a lot of tools. And then the other smaller MPOs like us can use.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. By the end of this meeting, I will also show you another example from ARC that we can use. Okay. Any questions?
No. We still haven't been able to get her up. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman, I would just say that the presentation that Genesis provided to the TCC committee was phenomenal. She did a very detailed, matter of fact, it got down into the weeds a little bit. So, I mean, I think that this is a good way of prioritizing and looking at real cost estimates on projects. So, like I say, you know, kudos to her and the presentation that she did with the TCC.
Okay.
Okay. Genesis is also working on the congestion management process update. And like I said, some of our projects will come from the congestion management process. So she did an outline on this. She's acquiring some additional data. And then also adding additional sections. So she's going to add some information that's not included in a current congestion management process, like percent of non-single occupant vehicle travel. So all of these like highlighted examples. So she will add. And hold on, let me see. Yeah, she actually have this. Oh no, not this one. Yeah, okay. So basically, she will add information on the vehicle delay hours, cost of congestion, percent of non-single occupant vehicle travel, and total estimation reduction, and type of a crash, pedestrian and propensity analysis and pedestrian level of a service and bicycle propensity analysis. And so these were just all the things that she highlighted in the yellow are not included in our current CMP. So she's going to add all this new information during this update. So we are hoping to have the congestion management process done in January. So before February, when we compile the project list for the 2050 plan. Okay, that's it. Any questions on that?
Any questions? No, ma'am.
Okay.
Moving right along.
Okay, I will just move on to the regional freight plan update. Just want to let you know, this is the presentation file that the consultant gave at the ADFAC committee meeting, and the presentation file is attached. And it outlines what's included in the final report. The contract ended yesterday, October the 31st. And then I did receive an email from the consultant that all of the final deliverables are ready to be downloaded, because currently we posted on our website the draft deliverables. The final deliverables the consultant addressed all of the comments, including like graphics, not in high resolution. So they updated all of that. So after today's meeting, and I would just go ahead and download all of the final deliverables and then replace whatever on our website with the final file. So just want to let you know that project is done. And the consultant also provided the matrix for us and to build upon, and that will help us to do the 2050 plan project list. Any questions on this?
I just want to say that they did a great job, and I think the freight report came in is very good. It's got good recommendations for projects as well.
Yeah, Cambridge is very famous for being technical, very technical. So for their analysis, pretty sound.
Okay.
Next one, urban flooding.
Hey, Anna McCoy here with the NPO. So we'll receive our final presentation about the urban flood model today. We have Dr. Matt Bilski, the team lead from the University of Georgia, online. And then we have Ed DiTomasio here as well, and he's going to be giving you a demo of their tool. All right. Matt, are you online?
I hope so. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Okay.
Great. All right. And Ed, you're there to drive?
Yes, sir.
All right. Great. Appreciate it. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us as part of today's agenda. I'm pleased to announce that we are presenting our final presentation and deliverables of the Urban Flood Model Project. So again, I'm Matt Bilski, the University of Georgia. And then we have Ed DiMatasso from GMC there to present as well. So I just want to make sure that everyone acknowledges the various folks who have been involved in this project, both from UGA and GMC. And I want to provide just a special shout out to the many graduate and undergraduate students who have contributed in various aspects to this project. So they've gained some valuable experience that they cannot get in the classroom by working with us on this project. So next slide. So I'm just going to go briefly over for time a few aspects of the work, starting with the financial stewardship and resiliency planning. I'll briefly state the sea level rise scenarios that we used as part of our modeling. I have a slide that summarizes the stormwater modeling. I think that's been presented previously, as well as to the TCC. And then what I want to spend most of today is talking about the coastal inundation and the roadway vulnerability assessment, and provide some time for Ed to drive around our online dashboard that has been developed as the major deliverable of this project. So just in general, what is social vulnerability? In terms of this project, we're going to be looking at different characteristics of communities and their populations based on their susceptibility to recover from negative impacts, in particular natural disasters, in our case here, of flooding. And social vulnerability is often quantified in terms of poverty, education, access to transportation resources and other public resources that make particular communities maybe more vulnerable than others to bounce back after these disasters. So for this project, we utilized a very well-known index of social vulnerability. Here I'll call this the SVI. This is based on a lot of research and comes out of the CDC, ATSDR, and they have four main types of socioeconomic vulnerability categories based on socioeconomic status, household characteristics, racial and ethnic minority status, and housing type and transportation. And we also have an average index that accounts for each of these equally weighted as 25% to come up with a total SVI index. So if you go to the next slide. This is showing the county level SVI index that averages all four of those for the entire state. But if we zoom in to the MPO area, you can see how this is distributed based on census blocks, with green being low SVI and the red being high. And so we've included this in part of our analysis to show regions at the overall index, and then as well as those four separate indices on different areas of where our population may be more socially vulnerable than others down at the census block level. And this is the finest detail that you can acquire with this SVI index. So the census block is pretty high resolution at the community scale. And so it gives us a nice picture of that distribution across the area. And so I'll show how we develop these roadway vulnerability indices in the coming slides, but I did just want to show you what this looks like. And Ed will also show this in the viewer, where we can overlay different roadway vulnerability scenarios with the SVI, so we can see where those potential areas may or may not overlap when prioritizing different projects and assessing the needs of different projects and communities in the future. And the final slide I have on the financial resiliency and the stewardship here, I know you can't read this, it's not meant to read, but we've included it in our deliverable spreadsheet here with approximately 40 grant opportunities involved in terms of resilience improvements and the use of natural and nature-based features. So the next slide shows a sort of a zoom in here. There's a lot of information, but it just kind of shows the idea here of the grant and program name, the type of funding in the agency, and then a brief description of these different types of approaches. Some of the funding agencies or funding announcements may have recently expired as we've organized this list. However, those are still good funding mechanisms to look forward to if they're renewed during the next annual cycle. So we've included this as part of our deliverable, and it's in the technical report. So in brief, these are some of the sea level rise scenarios we've used and are going to be presented today. These are in line with the latest sea level rise scenarios for Chatham County that was developed by a report, and it's the Coastal Resource Division of the DNR, so the CRD scenarios. So we're looking at going out to 2100 in increments of 25 years, and we have a low and a high scenario for each of those. So those are the scenarios that you'll see presented in the viewer. So I just want to provide just a brief overview of the stormwater drainage modeling that was done. Again, we've given several presentations, and more detail can be found in the report. But these are the sub-basins that we've had enough data to actually do a stormwater model for. They surround mainly the city proper of Savannah, and these all drain into the Savannah River. So we had enough detail and enough information where we could engineer or reverse engineer information such as the outfalls and the outlet pipes. I think if you just go to the next slide, it gives a more description on this. So here's the information that went into this model. We have the different pipes and road networks, pipe sizes, pipe elevations and diameters. And you could think of all the other details that go into such a model. And so we have inputs that go into this for each of those sub watersheds. We have rainfall, which is the image and example of that is in the top left. It's a cumulative rainfall over time. And then at the outfall, we add in the tidal information. So you can see there the bottom left, the daily high and low tide, as well as the sea level rise scenarios in addition to that tide level. And so with water coming into the system from rainfall and then how it may interact with the outfall and the tide condition, we then have a variety of these depth and time curves for different sea level rise scenarios for each of the basins. And so this information has all been collated and available as part of our final deliverable. Here I'm just showing one particular example. Okay, so the next slide. Okay, now getting into the coastal part here. So we've talked about the rainfall, and now we're going to talk about the coastal storm surge and tidal flooding. So this project, we utilized the latest Georgia Coastal Digital Elevation Model. This here is shown for the MPO boundary. This data was collected in 2019 and was released, I think, in late 2021. And so this is the DEM that we're going to be using, and it's at a 2-foot horizontal resolution. So we have an elevation value every 2 by 2 feet. So next slide. And so we can take the areas, road segments. So these are all the road segments. And for each road segment, we overlay that onto the Georgia Digital Elevation Model. And so we have a minimum elevation across each road segment. And here I've just colored it again by that elevation. So you can see where we have the high areas, which is the red, and then the lower areas, which are the bright yellow. So we have an attribute for each road segment that tells us what is the minimum ground elevation for that road segment. Next slide. And so if we have that information, and then we have information on tidal flooding or return period, flooding levels. So this is showing what is normally called the 100-year return period flood level for a coastal event I prefer to call it the 1% annual exceedance probability, which means that this flood layer has in any given year a 1% chance of being met or exceeded. So if we have this information and the road elevation, then if you go to the next slide, we can quantify what would be the vulnerability of that road to flooding. And so here we've calculated three different vulnerabilities. We have a low vulnerability, which means that the water level is not close or less than 3 feet than encroaching the roadway. We have a moderate vulnerability of the road, which means that the depth above the road is either at the road crest or encroaching upon the road crest to 3 feet. And then we have a high vulnerability, meaning that the road crest is overtopped. And therefore, we would expect severe flooding to happen over that road and impact traffic and potentially also degrade the pavement itself. So those are the three quantifications we have for classifying each road based on the road's elevation and based on the given flood scenario that we've simulated. So next slide. So here's an example then of those three layers. So here gray is low vulnerability. I should have updated this map. In this case, gray is low vulnerability. The yellow is the moderate and the red is high. And so this is for that 1% annual exceedance probability. And here we have a combined hazard of 712 miles within the MPO boundary that would be at risk to either a high or a moderate level of flooding under this scenario. And then the next slide. And then here's an example of just present day tidal flooding. So if we get a present day high tide flood, these are the roads that would potentially be vulnerable for those, and we have about 140 miles vulnerable to that. And then the next slide is the most extreme case. This is the 2100 high tide flooding. So now you can see that's increased to over 550 miles of roadway that is vulnerable under that given scenario. And then, like I've said, we've got various scenarios in between those two, and they're summarized in the next slide here in terms of total. Before I forget, I think I showed this slide, so I'll skip. This is the SVI with the roads. So I'll go to here, and this is just a table summarizing for each of the given scenarios. And sea level rise scenarios, we have the moderate and the high vulnerability, and then the total miles of road that would potentially be impacted based on those particular flooding scenarios. All right, so let's go to the next slide. I think this is where I have Ed take over, and he'll give you a demo of taking all of this data and putting it into a really nice dashboard for public viewing.
Anybody have any questions for Matt before I dive in here? Yes, sir.
I have one. I'm just thinking about how we could take what you're doing and what the county's doing under our West Side study, and I would marry the two pieces of data together. And I think Thomason Hutton is doing that for the county. Could y'all look at that and see how we can kind of make better use of both sets of data?
Sure. and this may kind of paint the picture of how that could be applied. But again, I'm Ed DiTommaso. I'm with GMC, and we were a project partner with UGA and the MPO on this. There's a lot of data here that was collected, as you can tell by those slides. Our task was to try to put that into a usable format that anybody can use. When you look at the report and you read it and you see everything at that county-wide level or that MPO project area-wide level, we wanted to put something in your hands where you could interact with the data in a meaningful way for your particular jurisdiction or for your particular neighborhood. So what we did is we developed this dashboard and tried to have it as a user-friendly tool that you can get into. You can play around with the data. You're not going to mess anything up. So if you get into trouble, you can just go right back to the beginning and it's going to look like that. So the left column here just gives you a little bit of information about the project. It gives you some kind of just some general guidance on how you can get started. It talks about those different scenarios that Matt had mentioned, our DNR high and low tide scenarios, or high and low impact scenarios, how the vulnerability was defined, which he showed pretty neatly with that graphic of the road. And then, you know, as it's important to link back to the MPO site for further information, we added a link here at the bottom where you can get back to the MPO site. So just kind of getting started here, and you have the ability to move this out of the way. What you can do is, as a meaningful way to interact with the data, we wanted to give you the chance or give the user the chance to come in and select their particular area of interest. And as you know, there's a lot of different ways people define areas within the city and the county here. The unincorporated county is so vast that instead of just doing it at that level, we use the census place names so that if you're interested in Isle of Hope, you can go directly to that area and it'll filter our data that way. So just to give you a couple examples, I'm going to go to, let's start in Thunderbolt. What it's going to do is it's going to zoom into that particular area and it's going to filter all of our data so that the information here on the side are just the streets that fall in Thunderbolt, and then it has their different vulnerabilities. So if I wanted to click on Lakewood Drive, I can then zoom into that area and it brings up information about that particular street segment and how it's vulnerable under each of those scenarios that we analyze. You'd also have the ability to search a street. And then again, this is just filtered to the streets that are in Thunderbolt. Well, it's not searching right now, but you trust me that it will. But you also do have, as you go through, I'm just going to back out here. There's different tabs across the bottom of the screen. This map is interactive. It has a lot of different data. You can bring up a legend that shows you what you're displaying. It has a lot of different areas and different layers in it. So it has, we built in our critical facilities are shown here. You can turn the different data sets on and off. These have the different road level scenarios. So you can turn on the 2050, the 2075, or the 2100 under the DNR low scenario. You could also turn on those scenarios for the high and then the annual exceedance that we talked about, which is the 100 year, the 500 year storm events. We put in the social vulnerability characteristics. So you could come in and you can look at social vulnerability. And then you can break it down right now. This is just showing overall social vulnerability, but you can also look at it by each of those different items that we talked about. So you could look at it by housing type and see how that may look a little bit different than household characteristics, for example. I'm going to jump over to another area town here, and we'll look at Wilmington Island. The area, the tabs across the bottom are going to show how different mileage of road is impacted within each of those communities under the different scenarios that we looked at. So the first scenario here, we're showing our present day, and then these numbers on the side here are automatically going to update based on your place selection. So right now we're looking at Wilmington Island, and it says right now 1 mile of road is impacted currently by that high tide flooding. But under the 2100 low scenario by DNR, it shows that 11 miles would be flooded under that particular scenario. So then you can look at that same area under the high scenario. So this is still showing Wilmington Island. It shows that under the high scenario, 49 miles of road segments would be impacted. We also get into our annual exceedance. So under that 100-year storm or 1% annual potential for flooding, 61 miles or 81% of Wilmington Island would be impacted. And under the 500-year storm, almost every road on the island would be impacted. So just to put it in perspective, you can look at other areas. If we selected Richmond Hill, for example, you'll see that these automatically update. So now we have, you can see in Richmond Hill, only 48% of the road mileage is impacted there. And smaller percentages on these others. So this is just kind of a neat way that you can go through and look at different areas of interest. One of the other things is to be able to compare it directly via a mapping, interactive mapping piece. So these are all linked together. So whatever I do here, it's going to show all those scenarios with the water raster data set that we brought in. So you can see under our present day on Wilmington Island, you can see how the colors change under each of those different year scenarios. And then if you just toggle over one, it's going to show that 2100, that high level scenario from the DNR. So you can start to just quickly see which of these roads are going to be impacted under those different scenarios. So the idea here is just that, you know, by looking at it at that high level, you know, this allows you to really get into the weeds and pull out useful information. So when you're considering future transportation projects within your jurisdictions, this gives you that ability to kind of get in there, look at road segments and how they line up with some of these different scenarios that we processed. I'm going to go back over to the interactive map here. We are in the process of building in our nodes that we had developed, and each of those graphs that you saw when Matt showed his presentation, there's going to be points that we add to this dashboard where you can go in and you can click on that graph and it'll show you just a little quick picture of that as you get into the attributes that are associated with it. And I'm just going to give an opportunity if anybody has any questions.
Questions? This is this on the, it's going to be on the MPC's website, the MPO's website?
That's right.
It's connected, and now all of us will be able to link it to our particular Bryan County, Effingham County, Chatham County, City of Savannah, Thunderbolt, Tyler, to
yes,
our
sir.
Particular area?
Yep.
Okay.
The final report will be on our website, but this website to the dashboard is already on the studies page for the MPO under the flood model.
Okay.
So you can already access it there.
Good.
So one point to mention, actually, Ed showed you the map. It only covers the current MPO boundary. So the expanded boundary to Effingham County and Bryan County, we are trying to do phase two.
Okay. But it will be up and running at some time. Okay. All right.
So I have a question, Joe.
Yeah.
Ed or Matt, and you know, we kind of hinted at this in the TCC. What is the single takeaway in all this data? I mean, is this an analysis tool of today and a planning tool for tomorrow? And how does the municipality or the counties supposed to alleviate flooding? I mean, is this, you know, we go look at our higher vulnerability roads and say, well, we need to elevate them. The data is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, I really appreciate what you've done, but I'm trying to put into my little brain here, how do we go forward with this and use this data?
Yeah, if I can jump in, can you all hear me? This is Matt.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, and Ed, feel free to jump in. But I think that's a great question, and I think there are quite a few uses for this tool. So at a high level, this tool could be used as a screening tool to show, you know, obviously what roads would be impacted, you know, at what time, what level of sea level rise. And so then a further study, you know, could be done to look at, you know, using those 40 different funding grants that I showed earlier, you know, to go in and look at, okay, well, maybe we can apply for one of these other funding grants or a few of them to do a further, you know, more detailed analysis of this particular roadway or this road network or community that will then be able to identify, well, what types of mitigation measures, you know, could we do for this particular road. I think every road is going to be different, and I don't know that, you know, we need to raise roads, but maybe, you know, looking at different alternatives through some of those grants, I think that was a big part of why those were put together. So again, like a good, you know, first cut screening tool, but I do also want to note that this information would be very useful in all of those grants to apply for to show that this data is available. And this is using very state-of-the-art modeling methods and very recent data. And so, From my experience in applying for many of those grants for municipalities, that is the information that they want to see, is that this study has been done already to help identify a lot of those potential problem areas, and that this is using, again, that state-of-the-art science to put into those types of proposals. So I hope that's one area that I see that this could be used. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, and I would agree. Is it also a tool that maybe emergency management or could use for forecasting roadway evacuations and stuff like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, Much of this work is going to be expanded across the entire coast of Georgia. I have a newly funded project from GDOT that just kicked off in September, where we'll be doing a road vulnerability assessment with some new techniques for the entire coast, with the aid of doing real-time forecasting. So if there is a high tide or a storm that's brewing, these results could be updated in real time based on an actual event that could occur. So that work is in process, but this map right now could certainly be used for initial planning for our emergency managers.
Okay, thank you.
I would just add, as far as project planning currently, if you already know you have the CIP lists of road projects that you're doing, this could be a tool to help understand a road that may already be problematic that you might want to have a closer look at, because you're planning to go and pave and do this infrastructure work on a road segment that may be already like on this list as kind of a highly vulnerable area for whether it's a social or, you know, just the road flooding issue. And it may be a way that you can go in there and have a second look at it and decide if that project's going to be sufficient to meet the time frame that you're looking at for when you do a capital project. So definitely analysis now and planning for tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. And thank you, Ed. Appreciate both.
Karen Jarrett, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you looked at future development and how this will impact the maps that you've, the 2050 analysis, the 2075?
We did not look at planned future developments or, proposed developments as part of it. It was just based on the existing road infrastructure.
But that would impact the.
It would definitely impact
Thank
it.
You.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. If I can jump in to clarify that. Yeah. So we did not include any potential new transportation. In the stormwater modeling, we did take a look at changes in potential land use, particularly urbanization. But we found those projections were nearly the same as today because the region around the main area of Savannah is already, pretty well urbanized. But certainly that could be something to be looked at in an additional phase in terms of the stormwater and potential areas of development moving outside of the city.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
My question was, is there a way moving forward to interface this with the individual municipality, meaning you all aren't aware of what the individual municipalities have possibly development wise, but where when we have something on the table, possibly, I mean, there's not much in the small town, but we do have something 10.3 acres get developed or whatever it is. We can basically be taking this and then almost utilizing as a tool to see what effect or impact that would. Is there a way to insert, suppositions into this, to use as a planning tool prior to us even working with developers to understand that? Is that a capability? Meaning like we have, if you go to Thunderbolt, there's 10.3 acres. Let's plan that it's actually developed. Stormwater runs off differently, blah, blah, blah. Is that an aspect of this model? It would almost be inserted like it actually exists. And then we would use the connotations to see what the modification was. Is that a possibility? Or is that an as is model? We can use this, but we got to figure it out on our own.
I would say, a little bit of both. So the SWIM model that was developed for the stormwater, all of those model inputs and a bit of an instruction manual, if you will, has been supplied as part of our deliverables. And I think they're on the website. So those data points could be downloaded and you can adjust the model inputs for that land use using those instructions and rerun the model. It does take a little bit of expertise, but I don't think it would be a very large lift. So all that data is going to be, if not already, publicly available for that.
Thank you.
Luckily, Thunderbolt has a quality engineer that works for them. So you can call us and we can run the SWIM model for you.
And let me kind of connect the dots too. And I think this was answered Ms. Jarrett's question as well. All of you who are familiar and was there when GDOT came and did the Coastal Empire Transportation Study. All right. And you know, they talked about the roads and things that's going to be updated. Now they have connected with you all to overlay what the flooding's going to be on in that Coastal Empire study. And that Coastal Empire study included Bryan County, Chatham County, Effingham County, and Bullock County. All right. So now what they're doing now is I understand that you just signed a new contract with GDOT. Am I correct in what you said?
Yeah, that's what
yep, that's right.
Did.
Right. And they're taking this flooding study and adding it to that Coastal Empire study. So there will be a chance that the new roads that come up or the widenings or the work that they're going to do. And I'll just give you an example, the work that they're going to do on Quaco Road and Little Neck Road and John Carter. All right. Once they completed this study, it will tell you how that will impact. So I'm almost sure, just like that GDOT study, Empire study, that you can honed in right on Thunderbolt. I think you can do the same thing right here. And when GDOT gets through, with their study and it's gone. All right. See? Yeah. Okay. All right. Now see, she can pull it up. And so you'll be able to do the same thing. So it can be part of your planning now and part of your future planning. Cause this goes up to what? 2050?
2100.
Okay. All right.
75 years.
Yeah.
58 years.
All right.
And I just want to say that you can download all the stormwater models on the study website. So here on the screen, you can see that they're linked. And if you'd like more information on the SWIM, it's a link to the EPA website where you can download the software yourself, and they actually have manuals. So if you have a stormwater engineer, they'll probably be able to read through that and go through it. We have some of the hydrographs here as well. The road vulnerability assessment is linked as well. And just thinking about how this is going forward with our public engagement this last Saturday, it was really cool. I actually printed out some of these maps about present day flooding, and I was able to ask people, hey, like, where do you experience flooding, and have them stick a dot. And it was really great to be able to compare some of the spots where this model is saying there's flooding, and then where individuals experience it, and they don't always line up. So I think having both parts are really important to tell the story. And thinking about our long-range transportation, this data will be incorporated in a vulnerability assessment scoring tool from Federal Highway Administration. So thinking about where are roads most vulnerable, how they can be prioritized in your plans, and then also in any grants and project funding. So this data is going to be used beyond this project.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have one more real quick, and sorry to tie up, but that was an interesting point you brought up. So where the model shows no flooding and the people experience flooding, is that traditionally on the municipality, meaning the model shows that by the storm drainage is there, et cetera, this should not be a problem. Ergo, when it is it the municipality that maybe isn't doing drainage, et cetera? Is that the reason why the modeling is showing that the infrastructure is there for this not to be a problem? And then when the human on the ground sees it as a problem, that means actually some semblance of the system is not working. Storm drains are either blocked up, the roads aren't graded properly to get it there. Is that where the disconnect is?
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility that it comes down to the infrastructure, that it may be assuming it's a 24-inch pipe that's, you know, free and clear, but it's 75% full of sediment. So it could be probably most likely, in my opinion, related to the infrastructure.
Is that something that we could receive? I mean, it may not be that many, but as the MPO or anybody that receives feedback, when you receive feedback that these roads flood and it doesn't show on the model, because I think that would help every municipality to cross coordinate and say, we might have more of a maintenance issue than we actually have a flooding issue, because the infrastructure should be there for that. So we can address this differently, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of our public outreach data is usually included in an appendix of the long-range transportation plan. So we can get that to you individually, and then it will hopefully be in the public outreach section as well from those comments and survey results.
Cool. Thank you.
And just another comment, like, you do have your NPDES stormwater program where you're inspecting your system over that five-year period. That data, in a lot of cases, will indicate where your maintenance needs are. So you could always look back at that to see how that aligns.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the time.
All right. Thank you for you.
Okay, greetings everyone. I will be presenting on item 8, which is the non-motorized transportation plan update. So staff is continuing the update of our non-motorized transportation plan, which is our bike and pedestrian plan for the core MPO area. And we are asking everyone to send project lists for this plan so they can be added and then ranked by our steering committee. And we would prefer if the projects could come in the following format, which is this spreadsheet style format where we see the use, project description, the length in miles, the location in terms of the street, the county, and the city / municipality. So once all of those projects are submitted, they'll be reviewed by the public. And then after that, public review and then also review by other factors, it'll be scored by the steering committee. In addition to listing the projects in this kind of spreadsheet style format, it would also be great to get a PDF or GIS shape file, just so it can be easier to add to our maps and files. And it would be great if we can get some of those projects in within the next couple of weeks, just to give us enough time to have good public review before the next steering committee meeting where we actually rank those projects. The project list is projected to be completed by February 2024. So I can send a follow-up email just kind of asking if are there any projects you want to add to this plan. In terms of current activities outside of that project list, we're still working with a lot of that heavy data that we showed at the previous meeting, and then also some equity related topics such as creating maps that overlay community resources such as schools and grocery stores, and also places experiencing poverty such as public housing complexes. And we want to add maps of those resources in combination with maps, map layers of our existing bike and pedestrian infrastructure, just to see if those places are being properly served by current bike and pedestrian infrastructure, and if we should either add more sidewalks, bike lanes, crosswalks, those types of infrastructure updates. Additionally, we are still doing an analysis of our bike and pedestrian volume data, our crash data, and our origin and destination data. And we did present some of that crash data at the public outreach events we've done the past couple of Saturdays, and people found that really interesting. So the work with this with these current activities will result in a list of specific roads and intersections that need the most safety improvements based off of that crash data. A description of where we need more bike and pedestrian infrastructure based off of the travel volumes and origin and destination data. And also a map showing the distance between community features such as public housing, schools, et cetera, and our existing bike and pedestrian infrastructure. And the non-motorized transportation plan is projected to be adopted in June 2024. Are there any questions?
No, ma'am. Don't seem like.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 9.
Okay. US 80 corridor study actually is done. And then the consultant actually gave us a presentation at the last meeting. This is the latest status report. I did contact Kimberly Hoare, and they sent me a link where we can download the final report, and as soon as I download that, we will make sure we post it to our study, Core MPO study website. So just like what Anna showed over here, so we actually had a US 80 corridor study. So I'm going to show that over there after I get all the information downloaded from the consultant website. I do want to take this opportunity to mention something, because it's talked with Ted from GDOT. So this project actually got the CRESA funds, so it's 100% federal funded, but so far Polar hasn't got reimbursed, hasn't even sent the reimbursement request to GDOT. But they have already paid the consultant, so which really concerns me. So what because Chatham County is going to have STERA 204 corridor study and US 17 corridor study and the President Street elimination study. City of Savannah also have the De Lesseps Avenue, encounter the same kind of a situation. So what this works is you sign a contract with GDOT. So there are two contracts. So you sign a contract or project framework agreement. So that is basically a contract. So you sign a contract with GDOT. That is one contract. And then you sign a contract, with the consultant or the contractor. So what happens is normally quarterly, the consultant will send you the invoice request, and then you prepare this request. You use that information, and you have a letter, and then put in your letterhead, you put the amount that you need to request from GDOT. You send that to GDOT, and then GDOT will reimburse you. After you receive the GDOT reimbursement, you have 30 days to pay the consultant. So you don't pay the consultant before you get reimbursement from GDOT. So that's what concerns me. For the De La Salle Avenue, for the city, they already paid the contract, the consultant. They didn't even request reimbursement from GDOT, which is a problem. For the U.S. City Corridor study, Polar has already paid the consultant, but they haven't even sent the invoice to GDOT. So I just want to let you know, Chatham County, you need to make sure you get the money before you pay the consultant.
Ms. Blackota, can you get to the update on the corridor study? You can get with the individual municipalities on what they got to pay or how they process that later, I think.
Yeah, I was just hoping that Pooler is over there.
Go ahead, keep rolling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my update on this one is already done. So the report is done, final report is done. We're going to post it.
And just to let you know, one of the reasons that Wakota is saying this is because we also have to track it, and we need that information.
That's why they're letting you know. All right, let's move on then. Let's go on to GDOT project status update.
Is Katie online?
Is she online?
Hey, Wakota, I'm here.
Hey, Katie, can you see the report?
I can. Okay. So for the pre-construction status, 19219 State Route 404 spur at Talmadge Memorial. The revised schedule is being accepted now, and the environmental begins, and a construction manager general contractor is expected to be awarded in the spring. 15151 safety improvements on State Route 204 from State Route 21 to Rio Road. The PCRF is in progress to shift the schedule. The next major milestone will be PFPR. It's anticipated in September, and the LET will be shifting to FY26. 15675 safety improvements on I-16 at Chatham Parkway. We're awaiting LET. It was moved to April 24 on the LET schedule. Number 4 and 5 is the twin projects, 15704 and 15705, bridge replacement over Back River and the widening. And preliminary design is ongoing, working toward PFPR. 6 and 7 is 17414 and 415 Bull River and Lazaretta Bridge replacements. We're still waiting on the environmental tech studies and working on the draft environmental document. 8, 18023, the roundabout on Hodgeville Road is continuing toward PFPR. The cost estimate is anticipated. For the construction report, all projects are progressing. The 17955 cable barrier upgrade on I-95 is awaiting a supplemental agreement for a time extension. So I'll change that anticipated completion when I get that. So 521855, the widening on US 80 is still awaiting a start date. And at last, our last meeting, I had a question about 16361 and 16441. It was Highway 21 at State Route 30, and there were some dividers missing in front of the CVS, and it was causing some issues. So I sent that to construction, and the last I heard before the meeting, they had not replaced them yet, but they do have plans to.
Any questions for Katie? Okay, thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Chatham County.
Okay, in the interest of time, I'm just going to kind of speed through some of these. Everything's here if you have any questions, let me know. We are looking forward to getting started on the three studies, State Route 204, State Route 25, and the President Street at Sherman Railroad Elimination Study. Those should all get started shortly. So we're excited about that, and you'll be hearing more about that in the next year. Other than that, are there any questions? If not, thank you.
City of Savannah.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joseph Sharehouse with the City of Savannah. I'll be brief as well. Dilephus Avenue project continues to move forward. We're doing utility relocations, both above ground and underground, and construction is following those relocations, so we're moving forward down the street. Project Duren is continuing to move forward. We've had some great meetings with our partners at the Georgia Department of Transportation and Federal Highway. We've got a great plan for accomplishing the additional environmental justice outreach and look forward to updating the public on that project moving forward. We have rebid the Truman Linear Trail Phase 2 project that is currently out right now. You may recall we didn't receive any proposals in our initial bid, so we made some tweaks and some additional outreach to hope to receive some competition in that particular project. And then Middle Ground Road, which is also a segment of the Tied to Town project, is revising the RFP to hopefully go out very soon. And the interchange modification report for the I-16 ramp removal project, to remind the board, that's a partnership with GDOT to update and review the interchange modification report to understand the impacts and feasibility of that ramp's removal. That will be let within the next few months. So we're excited about that project too. Any questions from the board?
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Paul Winworth.
Okay, yeah, he's not on the Port of Congress, but the report, he did provide the written report, which is attached to the agenda.
It's in your packet?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Jim is not on for the airport either, so, but the report, he did provide the written report, which is attached to the agenda as well.
Got a Mary Transit?
Yes, got it now. The correction on the report on the ITS Clever devices, the one vessel that's still outstanding installation is the Florence Martis, and it is on hold for other maintenance activities that we're engaged in on that one. And then the Clever device ITS system cameras and such will be installed, but they are on the Susie King Taylor, so that's a correction on that. I think the rest of our report, in the interest of time, I won't go through each one, but largely remains the same. We still have the ferry maintenance facility and dock are underway. The dock is actually out to bid right now, and the maintenance facility for the ferry, we are engaging in some additional work on the design of that facility in order for it to be bid ready. We are continuing to work with partners around the much needed, deepening of that slip there for both these facilities for the new ferries that are coming on board and for the existing, ITC intermodal transfer center facility that is, on Hutchison Island. On the, Savannah Belles hybrid electric ferry replacement, this is the one that we received a T-HUD earmark for. Those T-HUD earmarks have been interesting. One was automatically granted to GDOT instead of directly to CAD, and we've been going through the process with them of transferring that over, flexing that and transferring it over. That we should have completed very soon. It's actually, I think, well underway. And then on the other T-HUD earmark, that one was granted directly to us. These were newer programs, and they just didn't have the processes in place to make those T-HUD earmarks move smoothly. But again, one of those was for this. The other is for the paratransit maintenance facility, which we kicked off the design of that project this past week. If you could scroll down just a little bit further on electric bus replacements, We are still working on identifying our matching funds for those, as is indicated on here. And we have an existing, we're working with Georgia Power. There's installation of charging stations at Cat's property that is ongoing actually now, with an expected completion date in January. But we're also working with Department of Energy and some of our partners from the SMART grant regarding some additional funding, DOE funding, that would advance electric charging infrastructure with all of our partners throughout the county, including the county, the city, the Georgia Power, the Economic Development Authority, and so forth. On the route restoration analysis, we expect completion of that by the end of FY24. And again, that is focused. That's a strong part of our equity focus on making sure that we're serving all in the community. We are moving forward, well underway with implementation of the master transit plan. And again, a thank you to everyone in this body that was a part of that year-long effort and contribution that came from all across the community and came from each of you to make a master plan that serves as the vision for all of us. So thank you very much.
All right, let's move right along.
Yeah, Stephanie, I think Stephanie Ross is not online, but she did provide the report for the South Carolina LATS project status. It's attached. And then the TIP funding, we did get information from all the project managers. We update the funding table. So those are attached. And also the and the notices, Asia and I attended the AMPO conference. Asia took some notes, and we also have the presentations ready. And all the presentation files are online on the AMPO website. Another thing that I want to mention is local agency, LAP. I did attend workshop on Monday, because of the new funding legislation, BIL or IJA, there are a lot of funding opportunities, where the local governments are eligible. So if you just open this presentation file, you can see what the requirements, if you are managing the projects yourself, or you need to do that request to manage the project for you. And so that information is included over here, how you approach that. And there's also, ARC2 on that's just specifically for the IIJA. So you can just use the ARC2, do a search or find out what grant is available and when it will be available and who is eligible. So all of this information, I just attach this information to you just for your information. Thank you.
Okay. So we're now at the next core MPO meeting will be December 13th?
Yes.
All right, at 10 a.m. Anything else from anyone? Move for adjournment? Motion?
Second.
Probably motion and second. We'll be adjourned. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes.
Bernard, yes.
Miley, yes.
Milton, yes.
Kegley, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Jared, yes.
We'll so adjourn.